Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It is indeed good to see everybody here. It's good to see all the visitors, but it's really good to see the rest of us too. And I think we all know that we're here because God brought us here. And I trust that you're here to grow in your walk with Him. And can't think of a better place to be this morning than to be together with brothers and sisters in the Lord. What a blessing it is. I'm so thankful for each one of you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, it is indeed good to be here this morning. Thank you for this beautiful morning, and thank you for this opportunity to bring us together here and to serve you, to live for you, to hear your word, and just to walk close with you. I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to each heart this morning. Just thank you, Lord, for your son Jesus and for giving us a reason to come together. And just thank you for each one you brought here. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a little while since I was speaking here, but I'd like to pick up on Galatians chapter 3. As we were working through Galatians, what I have to share today, if you know Galatians chapter 3, at least we'll be working through the first part of the chapter here, it's pretty basic and pretty simple. And you know what God has for us oftentimes really isn't that difficult if we're willing to listen and if we're willing to take His word for what it is. We tend to sometimes make it a little more confusing than we would have to because we try to put our own wisdom and understanding in it, or somebody else's that we might know. Appreciated what Brother Melvin shared there about do we know God? Would we like to know God? Would we like to know more of how He thinks or what? And of course we would. And the Bible even says we have the mind of Christ. I think through His Holy Spirit, He reveals an awful lot to us, but obviously we are not going to know Him completely. And actually, I'm thankful for that, because if we could know Him completely, that means that we would maybe get a little more proud than we should. Actually, probably a lot more proud than we should. So I'm thankful that He has all things under control, and He does know a whole lot more than you or I. There's no better person to look to or to trust in than the one that knows it all. Our works versus God's saving grace. This over the years sometimes has been a challenge to me because I tend to at times, or more so in the past, not so much now, although it can creep in, to look at and see what I can do to try to make sure that I'm doing the right thing for God, that I'm doing it all right so I can someday meet Him. I think that's pretty much a human thought when we try to do things sometimes. We want to do it right. Maybe that's more so true for us, some of us perfectionists. We want to get it right. And that sometimes gets us into some trouble. If only I can do this or that correct, then I can be good enough for God's grace. Did you ever think that? Did you ever think that way? It's so easy to fall in that trap. And you know where you end up when you fall in that trap? You end up discouraged. Because that kind of thinking is going to bring us down eventually. We might think we got it together for a while, but then something happens and we realize, you know, we just don't have it together like we thought. Each of us cannot save ourselves, nor can we save anybody else. Our only saving that can be done is through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd like to read a few verses out of Romans chapter 3. You can turn to that because it's going to be a portion of scripture there. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 20. And probably most of us are familiar with that, but you know what? We need to hear these things time and again. Because we're human, we forget. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. I'm starting in verse 9. I don't know if I said that, but verse 9. No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. If you've been following along there, you may think, is that really me? That really, hopefully, was you, and we still have that inside of us to be us again for those of us that know our Lord and Savior. I trust that you have gotten past most of that, but that is what we are like without Jesus Christ our Savior. So that's where each one of us falls. This portion of Scripture should set the record straight. This explains every one of us in ourselves. We are not going to make it. We never could, and we never will. When you understand that, that can get you down. But that actually is a good place to be. Because if you understand that, you have taken a really, really important step. Because there's a lot of people that don't understand that. They're walking around out there thinking that they got it together, thinking they don't need God, thinking they don't need anything. They are all set. That is a bad place to be. But if you realize that you need Jesus as your Savior, that is a good thing. The truth of the matter is, hopefully you continue to realize that after you have Jesus. Because so many people make a decision for Jesus and then get sidetracked. And then they think, okay, they made their decision for Jesus, they can move on and do it their way. When we start relying on our works, our faith actually becomes weaker. The more we understand God's grace and our need for it, the stronger our faith becomes. So if you continually realize and understand that you need a Savior, that is a good thing. And hopefully you take the necessary steps, or have taken the necessary steps, and that you are living in His love. Really appreciated Brother Luke's message last week. And I also wanted to reiterate the message that we almost always hear every Sunday here in some way, shape, or form, which actually is a good thing. Jesus, only Jesus. We had our share of people, and maybe the Lord will allow more people to come through here, to introduce us to another gospel. We cannot accept another gospel. By God's grace, we will never accept another gospel. Max Anders tells a little story. "Help," the man cried as he dangled helplessly from the edge of the cliff. "Can anyone up there help me?" "Yes," answered a heavenly voice. "I'll help you, but first you must let go." "Let go?" gasped the man. "But then I'll fall." "I'll catch you," replied the voice. After a long pause, the man called out, "Can anyone else up there help me?" This story really illustrates the stubborn refusal to accept God's help or offer of salvation. Rather than accept God's faith way, many cry out for another way. This is exactly what was happening here in Galatians chapter 3. Let's read the first few verses here. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul had some very strong words for these people because they were reverting back to the whole idea of works for their salvation. You know, I thought about that some. It's interesting to see so many religions base their standing with their religion on how much they can do for who they believe in. As you know, many are willing to kill for their salvation, are willing to be killed. The willingness to kill, well, not for their salvation, for who they believe in. Obviously, that doesn't give them salvation, but their willingness to kill is not the salvation that God has or God's way for us. I was thankful last week in the basement there. I think most of the people from our fellowship were together, and Travis had showed some slides, shared some things with us, the idea of retaliation, and retaliation does not work. If we think retaliation is the answer, then we must keep on getting back at one another for this idea of who's going to win or who is right. I'm so thankful for God's word that says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. God shows us the way to love, not retaliation. He will take care of that. He tells us that in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Thank the Lord for showing us truth. This is an area that we have to hang on to. The idea of fighting for our supposed rights. This one reason that we are somewhat set apart or a little different than some of the mainstream church, loving, not retaliation, are fighting back. We have an understanding of non-resistance. Not retaliating. We must hang on to that. It's an important understanding. And God's word, I believe, is very clear about that. I'm thankful that we have a real God that is alive and has brought us salvation, not through our works, but through his saving power. He did the dying in place of us. So simple. But sometimes we can make it so difficult. The false teachers here in Galatians claimed that the Gentile Christians could not claim salvation if they did not submit to the Jewish rite of circumcision. How wrong they were. And Paul wanted to be sure that they understood that. I know this chapter talks mostly about faith and law. However, I would like us to consider also just a bit the idea of the difference between saving grace and obedience and sanctification. When people come to Christ, they must come to him in faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By the way, that's a continual process. Diligently seek him. Continue to seek him. We are rewarded on our faith in Jesus, not on how good we can become before we come to him, or even how good we can become in our own works after we have received Christ in faith. After we've come to him in faith, our love for him should grow to the point where we want to be obedient to his word. We will then begin to do things for him because we love him. Like the first and foremost commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. The second is like unto it, love our neighbors as ourselves. Those things are important, really, really important. And they should flow out of us when we give our heart to our Savior because of what he did for us. That leaves no room for fighting or killing. Some of the things that we believe, such as our stand on divorce and remarriage, homosexuality, modest dress, sisters, being keepers at home, the head covering, greeting with the holy kiss, non-resistance, we do out of obedience, not to start our salvation. However, I believe these things can be a part of our sanctification, which brings us closer to him. And really is our protection and therefore our keeping power and show our love for him. They're really for our benefit, not given for a work's salvation. Let us realize the importance of these things and keep these truths, again, not for a work's salvation, but for obedience, for protection, and out of a love for him. I just want us to really consider our salvation and that it comes by faith in Jesus' work on the cross, not on how well we can perform or how many good things we can do. There's a lot of places you can go today, and people will look at that, and they will look to see how good you can do. Again, this is what was happening to Galatians. They were going back to the law for their salvation. Jesus warned the religious leaders about this, and Paul was warning the Galatians about this. Not where you want to find yourself, and the dangers of what I call black sock rules. Rules that we make up that are not in the Word, but they make us feel good. And the rules that we can keep so that we can feel better about ourselves. Those tend to give us a false salvation. I'm not saying that God might not call us to certain things, but they are not our salvation. We must know our salvation so we don't get sidetracked. So much for that side note. So easy to fall in the trap of works based on works-based salvation. Knowing the difference is so important. Back here to Galatians chapter 3, in verse 3, Paul was asking them, if they started out with the Spirit, are they now ending up with the flesh? Verse 5, Paul is asking them, if it is the law that makes them good, or because of their belief in what they heard. I'd like to read the next few verses here. Galatians 3, starting in verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with Abraham. The religious leaders always wanted to say Abraham was their father. They thought that was so important. But it was important for a wrong reason. We have Abraham. We are blessed with Abraham because of faith, not because of works. Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness even before he received the rite of circumcision. In verse 6 here, Paul was quoting out of Galatians 15:6, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and he was counted, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was justified because of his faith and confidence in God. He was not justified because he was the best he could be or because he was not as bad as someone else. I don't know, in talking with people over the years about God, how many times I've heard it said from people, they're basically good. They're basically a good person, and they believe God will reward them for that. Not true. Not if Jesus is not your Savior. That sounds like an easy way out. That sounds so good, but it is not truth. God will reward us for our faith in Jesus and the work on the cross for us. Here in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That is such a good truth. They that are of faith, those of us that believe that Jesus is our Savior. They which are of faith are the real children of Abraham. We have been accepted by faith, not because we are a certain race or a certain color. We are Abraham's spiritual children. It says, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham. Verses 8 shows that including us as Gentiles in God's plan was evident already in God's covenant with Abraham. That long ago, he knew, and he was going to include us in that plan. In verse 9, those of faith in Jesus alone will be blessed along with Abraham. We must get these truths and hang on to them if we are going to make it through life. As time gets more and more difficult, and we're more and more challenged in different ways, and we hear people saying, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and oh, it's so easy to get sidetracked. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You must know that if you're going to hang on to truth through life. If you're unsure of your salvation, it is somewhat simple. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is able to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I really like the way ISV says that. If we make it our habit to confess our sins, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus did not mean that I didn't make mistakes. Oh, so many mistakes since that time. And you will too. But you don't have to let that get you down. If you dwell on those mistakes and those problems, that's exactly where Satan wants you to dwell. If you remember this verse and you confess, keep confessing your sins, he is faithful and just and he will forgive your sins. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is many, many, many verses. And if you're struggling with your salvation, go to the Word. There's so many verses. And God is faithful. He will bring it to light. And he will help you see that he is the one and you can completely trust in him. After we get that, there's so many good promises if we keep seeking him. It doesn't get old. It won't get old. As a matter of fact, the older you get, the more exciting it gets. The more peace you get. Does it mean that there's fewer challenges? No, there's not fewer challenges. At least I haven't gotten there. I don't know. Maybe when I'm 10 years older, maybe it'll be a little less. I don't know. But I have a feeling that the challenge will keep going. Satan is there. And he is wanting us to give up. He doesn't care if you give up at 58. He doesn't care if you give up at 68. He just wants you to give up. But by God's grace, we don't have to. So I would encourage you, keep looking to him. I don't know what I will face. I don't know what you will face. But I do know that God is faithful. And I do know that I really appreciate having brothers and sisters here in the Lord that encourage me in the walk. In closing, I'd like to read a few verses out of Colossians chapter 3. You can turn to that. Starting in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity, that's that love we were talking about earlier, where we love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, and mind, all that is in us. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I am thankful this morning that we are able to do that here when we get together on Sunday mornings, when we get together other times, and even during the week. I talk to brothers and sisters talk to sisters, and that's all part of this, encouraging one another. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Giving thanks. Hang on to giving thanks. It helps to keep you out of the ditch, which Satan so badly wants to get you in. Thank you. Brother Josh, could we sing What Can Wash Away My Sins? I'm not sure what number that is.